When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey Cobbers, from the land down under. This is the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily Podcast. Whether you're with the Strikers, the Stars or the Sixers, you might be a renegade, enjoy the heat, love the thunder, like a scorcher or prefer hurricanes. Brought to you in association with bluecrocodile.co.uk. Tie your kangaroo down, put another shrimp on the barbie and enjoy the fun. It's gonna be a ripper. Big Bash 10.
Hello everybody, welcome along. This is another edition of the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily. Thanks to bluecrocodile.co.uk for their support of these podcasts. Snapping up the right mortgages for you. Blue Croc Money on Twitter. I am delighted to say he was only on a few weeks ago. I'm joined again by Richard Mann of The Sporting Life. We talked back then about the Sri Lanka against England Test Series. Today, we are talking all about the Big Bash, the playoffs and beyond. And towards the end of the podcast, we'll also be sticking up our favourite bets as we go through the finals of this Big Bash. Richard, welcome back.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me again. It's a bit of a change of pace now, isn't it, with the Big Bash from the Test Series. But I think as we said last week, we're very lucky, aren't we, as cricket fans at the moment. We seem to be having plenty of cricket all the time.
To be honest, I don't know what I'd do if we didn't have cricket at the moment. it's a real joy to have cricket all over the place at the moment. Very quick word on the Test Series, England winning 2-0. I'm 1-0 up in our little competition here. We both went for Dom Best to be the leading wicket taker, 7-2, tick. But I also had Joe Root, didn't I, as my leading English batsman, and I think he might have won that.
Absolute landslide. Batted really well. I mean, I went with Joss Butler, didn't I? Who actually played pretty well through the series, I thought, but Root was just magnificent. Such a colossal figure now in that batting lineup, and with a big 12 months ahead for England, we just hope he can build on this.
The only worry for me is he scored such a big percentage of England's runs. They need a few of the others to stand up. If they're going to win in India or get close in India, they need some of that, the rest of that batting order to score big too.
Yeah, I think if you take a positive view on it though, I mean, you can say that you've got Stokes definitely to come back into that, your best top six if you like, and probably Ollie Pope as well. So the fact that England were able to go to Sri Lanka, foreign conditions, and lost both tosses as well, which is usually a massive disadvantage out there, and still were able to win, I mean, really positive signs. I don't want to speak too soon, but I feel that this England side are on the up now, and fingers crossed they can carry that momentum forward.
Let's get into the Big Bash then. We've seen 56 group games in Australia. It's stretched on a long time, it has to be said. I said on one of the podcasts recently that I think a lesson to be learned by a lot of these T20 competitions is sometimes less is more. Just by virtue of the fact there's a game every day for 10 years, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to have the patience to watch all of them. How do you rate that? Do you think 56 group games plus then the playoffs is just a little bit too much?
I mean, it's a long old slog, isn't it? There's no doubt about that. And just having five sides now sort of in the finals, I mean, really, they could get rid of one of those games, couldn't you? You could just have top two and then third and fourth. They seem to have eked out an extra game there for no real reason. I mean, even just if we had more double headers, so we could get the tournament wrapped up a little bit quicker. I mean, we've seen three games today. I'm not saying we need that, but the weekends have been having two matches, and that seems fine, and you could probably shave a week or so off the event. But I think in a week or so's time, or 2 weeks' time, we'll probably be wondering what to do with ourselves in the morning. So we may be near to the end now, but I think we'll miss it sure enough.
I think we'll be okay. There's a certain little test series between India and England coming up, and then it's the IPL. So there's plenty to look forward to if you're a cricket fan at the moment. But the Big Bash, I think, has been great. I mean, one of the things the Big Bash can kind of sort of jump back in with in terms of a defence of their system is that 56 group games, as I say, 55 and a half of those all had something on them, didn't they? There weren't any dead rubbers in that competition.
No, and I think, I mean, talk until the cows come home about the rule changes, but I definitely think the Big Bash boost point has really given another dimension to the matches. I've quite enjoyed that. I really like the surge. I think it's a really good initiative. I think it makes captains think on the feet more from both sides as well, from the batting team. And I think ending the power play after four overs brings an opportunity for wrist spinners to come into the game earlier. Quite often I have to wait till the seventh over. You see that with Rashid Khan. He has to wait till the seventh over until he comes on with the fields out. But now you can bring them on after five overs. I think that's been a really positive thing. The X Factor sub, it's a no from me. I'm not a fan of, to be honest. I don't like this idea that a side that doesn't have a lot of balance can sort of beef up after 10 overs, can beef up their lineup. I think the better balanced side should be rewarded. So it's a no from me on that score, but I do like the surge and the Big Bash boost point.
They can go on to judges' houses or whatever the advancement would be. I agree with you. I think that the two things you mentioned that are a success, I agree. I think the X Factor, I think one of my reasons for that, and I've had this right from the start of the tournament and nothing I've seen has changed that, is I think one of the big factors of a cricket match is that you look at the pitch, you look at your opposition, you pick your best 11. And if you get that right, you've got a very good chance of winning. If you get it wrong, you shouldn't be able to get a kind of bailout clause halfway through the game.
No, I agree. And there was a match earlier in the tournament, Chris Lynn coming back from injury. They clearly didn't think he was fit enough for 40 overs. The Heat fielded first, 10 overs. I think it was Coonan and bowled. Then he was subbed out for Chris Lynn, who basically stood at square leg for 10 overs. They hid him in the field and then he came out and batted on one leg and blasted it everywhere. I mean, it was great fun and they went on and won the game. But I just watched it and I didn't think that was quite right. If he wasn't fit enough to be in the starting 11, I just didn't like the fact that he was basically able to miss half of the fielding innings and then come out and just bat on one leg.
In changing times like these, make a change yourself. Buy your own home. Still living with parents or renting? Why not buy your first property? Mortgage rates are lower than ever. Speak to Blue Crocodile.
Blue Crocodile?
Yeah, Blue Crocodile. They'll get you the right first-time buyer deal by searching the market for the most competitive option for you. They don't bite. They're just straight-talking people like me. Give them a bell or go online. Blue Crocodile.
Looking at the tournament as a whole then, we've seen some pretty good games. There's been a few, I think, certainly towards the start, it was a little bit disappointing in terms of the closeness between some of the teams in the early stages. But as you say, three games on Tuesday saw the culmination of the group stages. The Sydney Sixers finishing top of the pile on 36 points. Perth Scorchers 32, Sydney Thunder 31. Brisbane Heat winning their final game to jump up into the top five on 29. And Adelaide Strikers just managing to cling on, had a nervous final day after losing their match on the penultimate day of the competition, had to watch the other games, but neither Hobart Hurricanes, Melbourne Stars could take advantage of that, and they joined the Melbourne Renegades on their way home. Hobart Hurricanes, Melbourne Stars, Melbourne Renegades, not a good time for Melbourneites, is it? I mean, it's the first time in 10 years neither side has made the latter stages of the Big Bash. Hobart, Melbourne, the right teams to go away?
I think so. I mean, we've just talked about how long this tournament runs for, and I think, and we've not had a lot of rain-interrupted matches as well. I think the cream generally rises to the top in these tournaments. And I think if you look particularly at the top three, the Sixers, Perth and Sydney Thunder, I would say they've been the best three sides in the tournament. I think the Sixers have been the most consistent. I'm not sure they've played the best cricket yet, but they've been able to consistently grind out results. I think Perth, after a disastrous start, have shown their class and have gone on a terrific run. And then the Thunder, I put them up at the start of the tournament, actually, and I'm frustrated they've not finished in the top two. They went on a really good run. But I think third is probably fair enough for them, because I think their best cricket has been probably the best cricket played throughout the whole tournament, but their worst has been pretty bad, actually. Yeah. They lost on Sunday to the Strikers at what should have been a very comfortable run chase, and poor shot Usman Khawaja, Callum Ferguson, that really set up the collapse. They went and beat the Strikers a day later to book their place in the finals, but I think their inconsistency, their B game if you like, isn't quite good enough. And I think the Sixers and Perth in one and two, they're probably the right two, top two. They now obviously get two cracks at the final, and I think that's fair enough.
I'm quite pleased with my pre-tournament bets that I stuck up. I had four bets, and I actually would be quite confident of all four of them had I not made a mistake of thinking that Rashid Khan was there all the way through the tournament, because he's got 16 wickets but is already playing in another series elsewhere in the world. But my other three bets, I like you, I looked at the bookies' odds prior to the tournament, and Sydney Thunder were the eighth choice for most of the bookies to win the Big Bash this time. But rather than have them to win it, wasn't quite that adventurous. I had them to finish in the playoff positions, so they've obliged with that by finishing in third. I also had Per Scorchers to win, and they're obviously very much still in the hunt. And I had Alex Hales. I found 25-1 on Alex Hales to be the leading run scorer in the competition. And at the moment, Alex Hales is 81 runs ahead of second place Josh Felipe of the Sydney Sixers, standing a very good chance of landing that 25-1 for me. Was there anything else that you had on your coupon prior to the tournament other than the Thunder?
Well, I'm with you with Alex Hales. I've sort of been nervously watching his innings yesterday. Once he got a start, just wanting him to go on and try and get some runs in the bank. And then Felipe obviously failed this morning, which was great. So fingers crossed he can get the job done. I see they're still betting actually on that market, and Hales is 1-3. So I think if we don't win from here, we'd be right to curse our luck. I put the Thunder up at the start. I went for them at 10s. I've also 11-2 or 9-2 for them to make the final again. So I'm frustrated that they haven't finished in the top two. But look, they're still in it. They can still win it, of course. But I do think the Sixers and Perth, they look the strongest two teams now, and I think they are in pole position.
Well, let's have a look at the way this Big Bash sets itself up. Now, the five-team structure for the finals sees a rather, I'm going to say convoluted. It's like when you see one of those flow charts, it's actually quite easy to follow, but it's hard to explain it on audio, so I'll try my best. It starts off with the Eliminator, which is the fourth against fifth place sides in the competition, basically face off in a knockout game. So that means that we will have the Brisbane Heat taking on the Adelaide Strikers in the first game of the playoffs. Then the second game sees the qualifier, which has the top two sides taking on each other. The winner of that goes straight through to the final. So the Sixers against the Scorchers, the winner goes straight through to the final. The advantage of finishing in the top two is highlighted by the fact the loser of that game gets another bite at the cherry. And then we move on to the knockout, which sees the winner of the fourth, the fifth, which is the first game of the group stages, to play the Sydney Thunder, who have finished in third. Then the winner of that game progresses to play the loser of the qualifier. So whoever drops out of that first versus second game drops down to play either the Heat, Strikers, or the Thunder in the what they call the Challenger. The winner of that then goes through to play either the Sixers or the Scorchers in the final. That might make sense, or it might not do. It's quite complicated. But
we got there in the end.
So we got five games basically left to find out who wins the Big Bash. How do you see that structure? I mean, in the IPL, they have four in the final. We've already talked about the number of teams that have come through from the Big Bash, and it does seem rather ludicrous that after playing 56 games, you only lose three of the eight. In terms of the structure, it is basically the same format as in the IPL, except it starts off with the fourth versus fifth to go through to the next round.
I think we're both in agreement. We've probably got a team too many in the finals, really. I think the top four, like what they do in the IPL, that seems to be the way to go. I mean, it seems quite ridiculous that a side that could finish fifth could still go on and win the competition. I mean, credit to them if they manage to do that and go on and win all these knockout matches, but it just seems like overkill to me. I think we know by now who the best sides in the competition are, and it's just a case of sort of watching our showpiece matches, if you like. So it's too much for me, but maybe that's something they'll look at next year.
It's quite a stretch, though, isn't it, for the Heat or the Strikers to win that Eliminator, go through to the knockout, win that, then go through to the Challenger, win that, and then go through to the final and win that. They need to win four games in succession now to lift the trophy. I mean, the Heat's come in fairly decent form, but it's a big ask, isn't it? Whereas whoever wins the qualifier, the game between the first and second, has to win two games to win the final.
Yeah, it's a massive ask. And I suppose I'm sort of contradicting myself there. I'm saying they don't deserve to win it, but if you can win four knockout games in a row, then fair play, you probably do deserve it. I suppose with the Heat, they're on a little bit of a surge now, aren't they? Chris Lynn's back fully fit. They seem to have more balance in their batting. So they could easily go on a run, but you just think that their bowling would leave them susceptible somewhere along the way. And they're probably the other way with the Strikers, actually an excellent attack, but I can't imagine that their batting can win them four games in a row.
Thank you to bluecrocodile.co.uk for their support of these Big Bash dailies. Remember, the housing market is still open, so if you're looking to take advantage of the stamp duty holiday, you're going to need a snappy solution. If your question is, what's the right mortgage for me? The answer is bluecrocodile.co.uk. Let's take a quick look at the batting and the bowling, how it stands at the moment in terms of the most runs in the competition. As you say, Alex Hales, 535 runs so far for the Thunder. Josh Felipe in second. He's on 454. They're then followed by Ben McDum on 402. He's been eliminated. Marcus Stoinis is on 396. He's been eliminated. Callum Ferguson is a teammate of Alex Hales at the Thunder. He's on 380. And Jason Roy then 352 for the Scorchers. And then Darcy Short, 345. He's been eliminated. So one of the things about these kind of competitions is that we said goodbye to a few guys that have done very well there, but that again strengthens the claims of people like Hales and Felipe, who have got a little bit of a cushion at the top of that chart, and Ben McDermott and Stoinis just below them are already kind of going home.
Yeah, absolutely. And another name to throw in there is Chris Lynn. I mean, if he hadn't missed those four games with that hamstring niggle, he would possibly be leading right now. And we've just talked about that the Heat need to win four matches to win this competition. If they manage to even play two or three, he would have a real chance of going close if he continued the form. Obviously, Alex Hales and Felipe, they get another go as well. But I think there's a potential for Heat to play more matches if they're going to go and win this competition. So that might give Chris Lynn a little bit of a sneaking chance for all. Alex Hales is clearly in pole position with that big lead.
On the bowling side of things then, John Richardson has 27 wickets. He's five clear at the top. Perth Scorchers man. Stichetti from the Brisbane Heats there on 22. So both those still involved. So is Tanvir Sanga from the Sydney Thunder, who's taken 21 wickets. Wes Agar from the Strikers still around as well on 21. Nathan Ellis has gone home. He's on 20, the Hobart Hurricanes man. Ben Dwarshuis from the Sydney Sixers is on 19. And Zampa is on his way on 19 as well. So John Richardson, there's no surprise in the market on Bet365 for him that, you know, he's 1-12 hot favourite to win the top bowler at the Big Bash. Stichetti's 9-1, Agar's 10-1, and Tanvir Sanga 14s. If any of those were to come through, yeah, I mean, you need Jai Richardson to basically stop taking wickets and somebody else to really start doing well. Stichetti possibly the most likely there with the Brisbane Heat. If the Brisbane Heat go on the run, as we said, they could play a number of games there if they win a few. He could, I suppose, come through, couldn't he? Which makes him possibly at 9-1 a little bit interesting.
Yeah, he'd probably be the one, actually, because the Heat have used him almost exclusively at the Durfees. That's how he's picked up his wickets. You know, his economy rate's not great. He's going for plenty, but they clearly trust him at the death. That's where he gets his wickets. Jai Richardson, obviously the standout. He's just been magnificent. He's fully fit again now, and I think he'll look at these next few games and think if he can lead Perth to victory, he'll really put his name in the hat for the Australia tour to South Africa in a couple of months. I mean, I can't believe he won't be knocking on the door for a place in that test side now, particularly given how Mitchell Stark struggled against India. So he'll see that as a big opportunity. I suppose the negative for him now is I think people have had a good enough look at him to realise that to stop Perth, you probably need to stop Richardson. You need to stop him making those crucial early breakthroughs. So I suppose you could have a point where teams just look to sit on him now, make sure he doesn't leave the games with a haul of wickets. Someone like Stichetti could catch him up, but albeit they've got plenty of work to do.
The likes of Richardson, as you say, and Stichetti and Wes Agar, AJ Tye, etc., who have had decent big bashes. I mean, we've seen with England, they're starting to rest and rotate. You know, they might not otherwise have had a chance with Australia in normal times, but that chance is possibly with bubbles and COVID fatigue and all the rest of it. The chances for Richardson are maybe a bit increased, aren't they, too?
Yeah, absolutely. And someone like Wes Agar, he would have been nowhere near the conversation a year ago, and I looked at him a few years ago and he looked very average, really, an up and down medium pacer, but he's put on a yard of pace. He's got a sharp bouncer, bowls a good yorker, and particularly for the Australian white ball teams, I wouldn't have thought he'd be far away from the conversation. Jai Richardson, to me, he looks a real class actor, and looking towards the Ashes at the end of the year, I'd be very surprised if he's not in the mix for that.
I Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls. I'm going to give you a chance to come back at me. I've beaten you in this Ranker England series, and now we're going to have 30 units each to use to put up our best bets for the remainder of this Big Bash 10 competition. You can spend your 30 on anything you like. It can be the outright markets, top batsman, top bowler, or you can even delve into the match markets that are available for the first two games of the playoffs if you wish to. I'm going to let you start though, Richard. You can pick your first one.
The first match on Friday, Pitt's Brisbane Heat against the Adelaide Strikers, and for all the Heat have gone on a run and they're very dangerous and the sort of side who can take a big scalp, I still worry about them a little bit under pressure in a knockout match. And I just think Adelaide, who've been there and done that, they've got an exceptional pace attack. Peter Siddle, Nisa, Wes Agar, we've obviously spoke about Dan Wall can swing the new ball. He'd probably look to get at Chris Lynn early, and I just think I'd like to back Adelaide's bowlers. They're even money with Bet365, and I think sort of 20 points, I'd banker them, Adelaide, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
So I think I know, I'm going big and hard.
It's like you're going all in at a poker table here.
Yeah, well, you know, it was Ian Chappell, I think, who once said that it's bowlers who win matches, and you look at the quality of the attacks through the tournament, and for all Adelaide's batting, is no doubt is weak. I think their bowling attack is very good. And I think one thing that might hurt Brisbane as well is that Swepson's back in the side, very good leg spinner, but he comes up against an Adelaide strikers batting lineup that has got three or four left-handers in that top five. So I think someone like Swepson, it's a massive disadvantage straight away. Labuschagne's bowled very well again, but he's another leg spinner. So I think Adelaide's left-handers will really enjoy that as well. I think they have a lot in their favour in this one.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because do you know what? I fancied the Heat to win that.
It's a game of opinions, James.
This is what makes it great, isn't it? This is what makes tournaments like this fantastic, because you never quite know. Right then, I'm going to come up with my first bet. There is a market for name the finalists. Per Scorchers and Sydney Sixers are the favourites to appear together, and the teams that finish first and second, they're 10-11. Sydney Sixers to play the Sydney Thunder is 11-2, but my bet is going to go on Perth Scorchers to be taking on Sydney Thunder. I think Perth will beat the Sydney Sixers, and I think Sydney Thunder will win their game 2 to make it through to the final. So that is 5-1, and I'm going to stick 10 of my units on that for a Scorchers against Thunder final. And if it goes that way as well, there'll be a Sydney Derby in the semi-final, and they're effectively the semi-final as the Sixers take on the Thunder. But I reckon the Thunder just about got the edge on the Sixers at the moment. I reckon the Thunder can come through and appear in the showpiece. So that's 10 of my units there. And seeing as you've already spent 20, I might as well catch up with you. I'm going to go with what we just talked about there. I mean, Jai Richardson, massively favourite, 1-12 to be the leading bowler in the Big Bash. But Sticchetti, if Brisbane Heat do go on a little bit of a run, as I say, I do fancy them to beat the Strikers, which would obviously scupper your bet. But even better from my point of view, if that happens, Sticchetti, just a little bit of a nibble. I'm going to just put 5 units on Sticchetti to be the leading Big Bash bowler. He has got a little bit of ground to make up, but he's 9-1. And I think that's a reasonably attractive price on Sticchetti to come through and just take the most wickets in this tournament. All right, you've got 10 points left, Richard.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the name of the finalists as well. I think, you know, I was looking at this market actually last night, and the Sixers were 2-1, and they've trimmed in now a little bit. Just don't see quite enough value there, but I just love how the Sixers get the job done. They seem to just find a way. I'm convinced they haven't played the best cricket yet, and they still find themselves comfortably in the top two. So I think they'll make the final. I'm a big Sydney Thunder fan as well, albeit I'm not sure they're quite hard enough, if you like, to win it. So I'm going to go on all Sydney final. I'm going to go Sixers against the Thunder at 11-2. I just think the Thunder, with Alex Hales going well and Callum Ferguson, they're probably going to be good enough to get themselves there. I think the Sixers have gone to win it myself, but I don't want to take 13-8, so I'll take 11-2 for an all Sydney final.
And how many of your remaining 10 is going to go on that?
I'll go all 10. I'll go all in.
Ooh, blimey, he's adventurous today. It's a brand new year and it's time to get your finances in order. Is your mortgage deal ending in the next 6 months? It's time to use bluecrocodile.co.uk to snap up a new deal. Blue Crocodile will search the market to get you the cheapest possible deal. The people to visit for the best mortgages for you. bluecrocodile.co.uk. I'm going to go into the match markets now. We obviously know the teams that are in the first two games. I'm going to play two man of the match markets here. Chris Lynn has been instrumental. I mean, he is their talisman. He is so important to them. Labuschagne's obviously come in as well and shored up that middle order. And as you said, Bowles a decent leg spin. But I think with player of the match markets in T20 games, you can get some serious value. Chris Lynn is the favourite. He's 6-1. So I'm going to stick 8 of my units on Chris Lynn to be the player of the match in that game for the Brisbane Heat against the Strikers. And then if we jump ahead to the other game that we have identified as knowing the personnel in, Sydney Sixers taking on the Perth Scorchers there. I have already said I fancy the Perth Scorchers. And obviously with these kind of games, the player of the match usually goes a player on the team that wins the game. I think Jason Roy has just started to look like he's getting used to cricket again. I think ever since the World Cup final and he then got thrust into a few test matches and he was completely out of his depth in that, he lost a little bit of his mojo and his white ball form suffered as well. But as this Big Bash has continued, he's started to get a little bit better, in my opinion. He starts to look as if he got a little bit more rhythm, look as if he's the Jason Roy of old. He's sixth in the ladder on 352 runs, quite a way behind Alex Hales, and that's a little bit of a play within a play. Should Hales play for England or should Jason Roy continue? Jason Roy, he's 8-1 to be the player of the match for the Perth Scorchers against the Sixers. So just to recap then, 30 units apiece. Richard, Strikers at even money, 20 units. Sixers and the Thunder to appear in the final, 10 units at 11-2. And James, me, Scorchers against Thunder final, 5-1, 10 of my units on that. Stichetti to be the top bowler of the tournament, 5 units and 8 units on Chris Lynn for the Brisbane Heat against the Adelaide Strikers to be player of the match at 6-1. And 7 units on Jason Roy at 8-1 to be the player of the match for the Perth Scorchers against the Sydney Sixers. So that concludes our little bit of a game there on this podcast, this Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily. Just one final point, Richard, in terms of kind of global T20s, I guess. We started off by being a little bit critical, saying it's too long, etc. There's no doubt there's been a lot of entertainment in this Big Bash as well. Where do you think it ranks overall in the greater scheme of T20 competitions around the world? The IPL, I think, is probably still leader. Is it still second place, do you think, the Big Bash?
That's a very good question. Yeah, I think we're in agreement that the IPL is still king. I would say it's still number two. I'd be interested to see how the Blast goes this summer. I think we saw some good cricket in the Blast last year, and you look at Nottinghamshire, obviously went on and won it, and you look at two of those guys, Dan Christie and Jake Ball from Notts, they're now in the Sixers lineup. They're just about favourite to win it. So, and Alex Hales as well. Yeah. They could easily be contesting the final there. So that's the cream of our T20, if you like. And they're going over to the Big Bash and they're dominating. Alex Hales has been the best player so far, certainly from a batting point of view. So I think we're quick to criticise the English game and the English T20 Blast. But if you look at the cricketers that it's produced, and I throw Jofra Archer in there, I mean, he's taken this competition by storm in the past. Obviously a star of the IPL, but he learned his trade with Sussex as well. So I don't think ours is as bad as some people would like to make out, and I'm looking forward to it again this year. I'd still have the Big Bash ahead at the moment, but I think the Blast is closing in.
Well, there we go then. That's our playoff preview for the remainder of Big Bash 10. There are 5 games in the playoffs, 5 teams remaining as they go through to that final on the 6th of February. Richard Mann of The Sporting Life, thank you very much indeed for joining me again.
Thanks for having me, James.
Thank you everybody out there for listening. Thanks to bluecrocodile.co.uk for their continued support of these Big Bash dailies. I've been James, the Cricket Badger, and I'll see you again tomorrow.
Big Bash 10. Thanks for listening. We'll bring you another edition of the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily Podcast in association with bluecrocodile.co.uk tomorrow. See you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.